A sermon on Amos in the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 15. I'll read the scripture. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel, with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink of their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The peace, love, and grace of the triune God be with you now and always. When I was shopping around for a place to live here in Salem in early June, one of the selling points for where I ended up was that my car would be parked behind a gate. I have to pay $50 for this privilege, but I'm glad for it. Because living in downtown central Salem, there are many reasons that parking behind a gate just makes sense. And yet, I don't like having those reasons be such the norm. I've also lived behind gates in my growing up years, being a military brat. And in the private schools I was teaching in Hawaii, they had gates too. Gates, gates, gates. The more I thought about gates after reading the scripture out of Amos this week, the more I had to think about gates. Did you hear in Amos about the gates, right? The one who reproves, it's another word for censure, in the gate. The pushing aside the needy in the gate, and the establishing of justice in the gate. The gate theme is rich and deep this week. So this is where the sermon just had to go, I guess. Are you ready? Let's open the gate. Gates in the ancient world, and still kind of today, were symbols and practical structures to exhibit power, provide for defense and safety, and acted as places where the community carried out much of its communal business. Kings and dignitaries were received there. It's where the prophets preached, and merchants peddled their wares, people traded with each other, and justice was dispensed. On the other hand, the dead were always buried outside the gates, and invading armies always seemed to break them down, and people were cast out through them. I'm sure many of you have seen the gates of Jerusalem, maybe even the Ishtar Gate, that famous blue and gold gate that we see that was at the entrance to Babylon. And even the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. So much history has walked under that gate. And we close gates to keep people out or keep people in. We close gates to keep animals out or in. And we lock people behind them for all sorts of reasons. Gated communities, usually around a golf course maybe, make them ornate and dynamic. And my apartment complex, like I said, charges for the privilege to park behind one. All these things are happening around a gate. Amos does seem to be speaking about a time we find today familiar, right? Truth is being rejected in his time and ours. The poor are being plundered and not making gains. Witnesses are being silenced with bribes, and the chasm between the elite and the wealthy widens compared to everybody else as the social structures of the community move through this rapid change. While at the same time, there's this sense of this religious zeal being drummed up in some corners. Sounds all too familiar to today. My questions remain then, are we too pushing the needy aside at our gates? Are we locking out and down those who are raising their voices and voicing their calls for justice at the gates? And are we forgetting to establish justice there in the first place? Are the words of the prophet Amos convicting us again thousands of years later? And is the gospel message still being missed or maybe misunderstood? It makes me also wonder why I need a gate to park behind in the first place. Is it because it adds a layer of security to my life? I don't worry about my car being broken into or stolen. At least I worry about it less. And why do I need to worry about that anyways? Is it because we've provided a society of equal opportunity with a living wage, with mental and physical health care available to everyone as a social obligation to each other? Is it because we know our closest neighbors on our street and we look out for each other? Is it because there are ample places to get a hot meal and an affordable place to live? Is it because we value the least among us at least as much as ourselves? I know that all of those were kind of snarky comments, but I think we need to hear them. I personally refuse to believe that people just want to live a life of crime and take from others. I do know that in survival mode, each one of us would probably do things that we would never dream of doing sitting here today. I can even imagine a time in my life, fleeting as it was, that I felt I could take someone's life if it came to that. Is Amos speaking to that idea of our lack of establishing this justice at the gate as a place where we forced the gates to transform our community? We've shut that down. We've locked it down. We're hiding behind them. Is Amos calling us out for missing God's will for us to do that? I want you to think about a picture of another type of gate. When the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was surrounded by that fence with razor wire on top. Bring that image to your mind. The very citadel of freedom in our country was placed behind that gate because we've strayed, and not for the first time, a very long way from the vision of what this country strives to be. What God wills for God's people is not represented in any type of gate like that. Again, let's turn to what the prophet tells us today. God, through Amos, calls us to seek the Lord and live. Seek good and not evil. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gates. and God will be gracious. Something we seem to need reminding of constantly. At least I do. You see, my brothers and sisters, we have this idea of gates wrong. We've had the idea of gates wrong for a long time. Gates are not for keeping things in or out. Gates allow passage to and from, and that is a very different thing altogether. I'm reminded of a poem from a favorite of mine, Robert Frost, titled Mending Wall. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, and good fences make good neighbors. And yet the rest of the poem speaks to how two men live in community together around and within this stone wall, creating the gates of relationship out of the barrier that's constantly being thrown down, stone by stone. Good fences might make good neighbors. And the gospel message today, hiding for us, states clearly that good gates maintain justice, peace, and community, but only when are they opened, accessible, honored, and held sacred. Passing through the gate and being in the gate together, that is living out our calling. Living freely in the world and passing through the gate into the world of God, back and forth, allowing the Spirit to do so as well. I think just maybe that's what Amos is saying when he says, love good and establish justice. And he also reminds us of the God who promises this and so much more. A gracious, loving, compassionate God, and one who is willing to watch as we build the gate, lock it, realize our mistake, and unlock it once again. All the while, God never being less gracious or less loving or less compassionate. This is the Lord we are called to seek. This is the God who always seems to find us first. Something there is that doesn't love a wall that wants it down. Amen.